Construction deaths, tax evasion, corruption. These sort of scandals are the last thing that big business want to own up to. But often when something goes terribly wrong, a company will claim negligence. It didn't know that poor behavior was going on, which is much less a charge than purposely implementing poor conduct. So now, could a new way of framing corporate responsibility make it harder for these companies to claim that they're in the dark? Elise Bant is a legal professor at UWA who is devising just that. Hi, Dr. Elise. Thanks for joining ABC Goldfields Aspirants.
That's my pleasure. Thank you, Elsa.
So as a student of the law or an expert in this area, what problems have you observed looking at companies not taking responsibility or being liable for poor management and poor systems?
That's a very good question. I think this was really made most transparent, actually, in the context of the Banking Royal Commission. You might recall that back in 2019, we had watched a whole range of bank executives and directors and so on give evidence before the Commission about some really egregious misconduct that would make most of us squirm. So, for example, where you have companies charging dead people fees for financial services that they've never obviously received. So some of this misconduct would carry on for a decade or more, and yet the CEOs would sit there and say, oh, we didn't know. It was a systems error. It was just an administrative oversight. We didn't mean it. We didn't know as CEOs, and so therefore, because we didn't know and we're the company's directing mind and will, the company itself didn't know. So it's not fully responsible for the harm that's been done. And the reason why they can do that is because a lot of laws that hold corporations responsible for really serious misconduct require us to find that the corporation has got effectively a guilty mind. And because corporations are not natural people like you and me, we have to find an artificial way of finding their state of mind. And we do that often by treating the company CEOs and the board of directors as the company's directing mind and will. So if they don't know what's going on, then the company doesn't know what's going on. And of course, this is just a recipe for disaster, because it just means that you have CEOs who don't ask, because if they don't ask, they don't know, and that's much better.
And if we're talking about big corporations, I mean, the board not knowing something's going on is quite, you know, I would think that's common occurrence, because they can't possibly be across all the different systems and management processes throughout a massive corporation.
Yes, that's right. And nowadays, of course, you know, you have many corporations that have literally hundreds of thousands of employees, and the board can't possibly know all of the different activities of the corporation and how those activities are being undertaken. And what we find is that the knowledge about what's going on is not even necessarily held by the employees, because they're just cogs in a bigger wheel. You know, they may be just carrying on their job in a particular context, looking after a particular aspect of the company's work, and not really understand how that role connects with other parts of the corporation's systems and policies and processes. So, and nowadays, of course, we also have automation. So you have increasingly, you know, humans not really being involved in the corporation's core activities. So, for example, with the case that I just told you about, the fees for no services scenario, these were all automated fee deduction systems, so like automated payment systems, where money was getting taken out of client accounts automatically on an ongoing basis. And so, you know, this was part of the reason why corporation CEOs were saying, oh, it was a systems error, because there weren't actually humans taking the money from the accounts. It was an automated payment system.
And what's the difference in terms of legal punishment if a company says we willingly did something wrong versus we didn't know and we were negligent but something wrong occurred?
Again, fantastic question. So again, traditionally, when it comes to setting penalties for misconduct, it makes the world of difference. So if you say, look, I did something by mistake, I didn't mean to do it, then that's at the very low end of culpability. If you say, look, I was dreadfully careless and, you know, I'm sorry, that's perhaps slightly worse. If you say, I did it intentionally and I couldn't have cared less about the harm that was likely to result from my behaviour, well, that's bad. And if you say, well, I intended to cause harm, well, that's really the worst. So there's a spectrum of blameworthiness, if you like. And what corporations try to do, of course, is to provide a narrative about their wrongdoing, which places their blameworthiness at the extremely low end of the spectrum. And that's why, you know, CEOs sort of say, oh, we didn't know, it was all an accident and so on, because that's characterising the misconduct in a way which will minimise their responsibility and the potentially the punishment or penalty that will be meted out to the corporation.
So there's some pretty clear issues that you've just highlighted here. What's your system intentionality framework that you've developed?
Well, I was really cross listening to all of this evidence, and I thought there's got to be a way through the thicket. And so the basic idea that I have is extremely simple, and it applies equally actually for natural persons like you and me and for corporations. And the basic idea is that a corporation expresses or manifests its state of mind through the systems and the policies and the processes that it operates on the ground. Now, that might sound confusing, but I can give a really simple example of how this works for a natural person like me. So suppose I am using a recipe, which is a kind of system of conduct. I'm using a recipe, which is a cake recipe, and I'm following the steps in the cake recipe to produce a cake. Now, you don't actually have to ask me what I'm meaning to do, what's my intention, to know precisely what my intention is, because the system that I'm using is shouting out to the world my intention. So my intention is to make a cake, and you can see that by observing the nature of the system that I am following, the recipe that I'm putting in place. And you can also tell a lot about my mental state from, you know, my knowledge, for example, from my use of the or my implementation of the system. You know, I have to know what eggs are and how to beat them. You know, I need to know about sifting flour. There might be other things that you can infer from seeing the system that I'm implementing. Now, exactly the same thing happens for corporations. So in the fees for no services cases, we look at the automated system and we can see that the default setting in that automated system was to keep taking out money from customer accounts until there was some sort of manual stop. Now, given that these fees were being charged to human clients whose circumstances change and, you know, who sometimes die, setting the system like that inevitably would mean that the corporation would be taking money that it was not entitled to. So the system tells us about a degree of recklessness and potentially dishonesty on the part of those corporations without having to actually point to some, you know, employee and say, oh, you know, you personally dishonest, or without allowing the CEOs to get away with it. The corporate system itself says exactly what its values were, what it knew about, you know, the clients that it was taking money from, and about the attitude that it took to its obligations to only take money where it was lawful to do so.
That's Dr. Elise Bant. She's a legal expert at UWA looking at the intentions of systems in big corporations.